time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And it's time for Abandoned Manitoba. It's our favorite, it's your favorite part of a Sunday show. Gordon Goldsborough is here from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, this week we're going to visit a vacant building here in Winnipeg that once housed a real Lulu of a restaurant. I was referring to the Haynes Chicken Shack, a restaurant that specialized in such comfort foods as fried chicken and spare ribs, that was located on Lulu Street, which is south of the CPR Yards. It was a city institution for over 40 years, run by the Haynes family.
Okay, let's start at the beginning then.
Okay, our story starts in the South American country of Guyana, where in 1911, Percy Augustus Haynes was born. He and his family came to Winnipeg when he was just a year old, and they moved into a small one-story home on Lulu Street, where Percy lived for the rest of his life. As a young man, Percy excelled at sports, and he played, for example, with championship softball and basketball teams. And he was Winnipeg's welterweight boxing champ in 1933 and 1934. But when the Second World War erupted in 1939, it was natural that Percy would want to enlist in the Navy to serve his adopted country. Unfortunately, the Navy turned him down cold.
Why did they do that?
Well, Percy, who was black, was told that minorities were not allowed on the grounds that racism in the close confines of ship life would lead to violence. Percy didn't accept this, and he petitioned government officials to intercede on his behalf. They did, and Percy became the first black sailor in the Royal Canadian Navy. In 1943, he married a woman named Zena Bradshaw, who was originally from Jasper, Alberta, and she had moved to Winnipeg in the early 1930s, where she worked as a jazz singer.
Wow, this guy excelled at sports, championship softball and basketball teams, Winnipeg's welterweight boxing champion in the 30s, went off to war and had to fight to go to war, mm-hmm. and then comes back and opens up a restaurant.
Yeah, but that comes a little bit later.
Oh, what did he do after the war?
Well, he came back and took a job that was pretty stereotypical for the day. He began working for the Canadian Pacific Railway as a night porter aboard some of the transcontinental trains. This position, you know, with black men serving on railways, it went way back to the First World War, disproportionately black men serving in that role. Percy worked for the railway for the next 29 years while his family stayed in Winnipeg.
Wow.
So it wasn't until 1952 when Zena Haynes, and she was reportedly an excellent cook, decided to open a restaurant in the family home on Lulu Street. The place had only 50 or 60 seats. It was small, but apparently the food was exceptional, and it also provided live entertainment. Because among his other talents, Percy was a gifted pianist and singer. Huh. So when he was not traveling with the CPR, he performed at the Chicken Shack.
Nothing he couldn't do. So I'm assuming then that the restaurant was very successful.
Oh, very much so, for a couple of reasons. It was one of the few places that offered unique Southern U.S. foods. And in 1950s Winnipeg, there were few other places where people could listen to live jazz and blues. The Chicken Shack was open 7 days a week, late into the evening, often had long waiting lines waiting to get in. Among those who patronized it were such noted international entertainers as Oscar Peterson, Harry Belafonte, and even some prime ministers of Canada stopped by when they were in town. So as the restaurant thrived, the entire Haynes clan was moved to other space. They basically turned the entire house over to dining and music. So an addition was made to the back as a residential space for Percy, Zena, and then also Zena's son from a previous marriage, Delbert Wagner. Now, living with musical people like Percy and Zena, I think it was inevitable that Del Wagner would be musical too.
Right.
And he became a noted jazz drummer, a vocalist, and tap dancer. Del would perform at such places as Harry Smith's Club Morocco nightclub, you know, not far from the CBC headquarters
just
there
down
on
the street,
Portage Avenue. Yeah. And yet, as successful as Percy Haynes was as an entrepreneur and entertainer, he was not so successful as a politician.
Well, politics would be the next step, right? What happened?
Percy had been active in Winnipeg's growing Black community pretty much most of his life. Mm-hmm. And in the late 1970s, he was recruited by the Manitoba Liberal Party as its candidate for a North End constituency in the 1977 general election. He launched his campaign at the Chicken Shack, inevitably, and they had 75 people that showed up for that initial launch where they enjoyed pork hocks, black-eyed peas, fried chicken, and cornbread while being entertained by a Dixieland band. After all of that, Percy, who was accompanied by Liberal leader Charles Huband, made rousing speeches about the inadequacy of the incumbent MLA. Percy was especially concerned by the changing nature of his neighborhood. Older homes were being demolished. They were being replaced by industrial buildings, garages, gravel yards. In fact, a case in point was that a large vehicle maintenance facility built by the provincial government was just a block away from the Chicken Shack. Yet, the fiery rhetoric offered that day did not translate into success on election day. Percy finished a distant third place. In 1980, 3 years later, he ran for a seat on the Winnipeg City Council. But again, he was defeated. He received fewer than half the votes of the other candidate.
So was he still working at the Chicken Shack this whole time?
Yeah, absolutely. Percy and Zina both worked right up until their deaths. But it seems by that time the blush was off the rose, because of the growing number of other places where one could find similar cuisine. You know, so for example, if you wanted fried chicken, you could go to one of Oscar Grubert's Champ's Chicken outlets that began popping up in the late 1950s. And there were more avenues where you could enjoy jazz and blues music being performed live. I think also deterioration of the neighborhood around Lulu Street probably contributed to the wane of the Chicken Shack. After Zina and Percy died in 1990 and 1992, respectively, a couple of long-term employees bought the business from the Haynes estate, along with the recipes for the fried chicken and the barbecue sauce. They tried as best they could to keep the restaurant going, but after exhausting their life savings, the Haynes Chicken Shack closed forever in September of 1996.
So kind of a quiet ending. Did you ever eat there?
Well, my wife reminds me that after she had heard numerous rumors about its impending demise, she suggested we check it out. But I have absolutely no recollection of that visit, which suggests to me that the fare was not especially memorable. And of course, by that time, the time we went, the charismatic pianist who might have left an impression on me was gone. So no, I don't remember having that experience, although I'm sure many of our listeners do, and I'd like to hear what they have to say about the food, the music at the Chicken Shack. But a few weeks ago, my wife and I walked past the old vacant building, and despite the passage of nearly 25 years since it closed, you know, my imagination still conjured up sort of the wafting aromas of fried chicken and, you know, the jazz riffs that would have emanated from the buildings for so many years.
Well, I know that my parents had gone there a few times. My mom was originally from the North End, so my dad had to come across town, I guess, to eat there. But I heard that name more than a couple of times growing up, Haynes Chicken Shack. My dad remembered it fondly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. That was an excellent story, Gordon. Thanks for that. What's up for next week?
We are going to talk about a leisure activity in Manitoba that originated in the hills of southern Tennessee in the 1920s. But it had legal implications that still resonate with us today.
Is it drinking?
Not drinking.
1920s, prohibition. Okay, well, thanks for that, Gordon. We'll look forward to that next week, and take it easy.
We'll talk then. Bye-bye.
Puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.